It cracked. It's the Atari ST Show, episode 10. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Atari ST Show. I'm John.
And I'm Aaron.
And today, Aaron, we're going to talk about cracked.
Ooh.
Aaron, where do you stand on the yolk folk?
Listen, if the yolk folk were to appear in this, that would be horrible. Considering there's a lot of eggs that get killed in this. Thankfully, none of the eggs have faces or walk around or have personalities.
Do you feel like we only eat eggs because they don't have faces?
Well, no, I don't think that, because we eat tons of stuff with faces, tons of it.
I guess now that you mention it, that's a good point.
Yeah. In fact, eggs. I mean, listen, are you a big egg eating guy?
I am. And I eat eggs every day of my life.
Let me ask a bit more specified question. You eat straight up like crack an egg, or do you mean you have stuff, you eat things that have egg in them?
Like every day I eat either a hard boiled egg or a scrambled egg.
I see. And do you ever eat the over easy or any of that other stuff?
I do like a good sunny side up egg. That's recently. I've learned how to cook one properly, which I never knew how to do before. You know the secret to making a sunny side up egg?
I don't.
You got to cover it. You got to cover that bad boy with the skillet top. If you don't do that, then it doesn't cook at all on the top. And because I was always like, whenever you go to a diner, you know, you get your sunny side up egg and it's runny, but it's not crazy runny. And I was like, how do they do that? Well, they cover it up. They put a little glass thing over the top of it. So it's what you got to do.
I'm not a huge fan of eggs. So, like, I'm the kind of guy, I can only eat eggs scrambled. All right. I don't eat them any other way. Scrambled eggs. And, like, if I go to, like, say, a breakfast joint, I've got, like, bacon, sausage, toast, or pancakes, something like that. And then they're also like, yeah, you get eggs, right? I'm always getting them scrambled. And the first thing I do is eat all the eggs as quick as I can.
Get them out of the way.
And then I've got more space to, like, luxuriate my pancakes and syrup and whatnot. So the eggs are just, I mean, I'll eat them. But, like you ever get, like, an egg McMuffin? Like, I never get that. I'll get a bacon, egg, and cheese McMuffin. Then I'll just gut through the egg part, get the other stuff. So, like, I'm not a big egg guy, but of course, eggs are in everything. So, you eat them.
I'm what you call an egg guy. I like eggs.
Omelets? You're a big omelet guy?
Yep. Love omelets. I love om rice. You know what that is?
I don't.
It's where you take an egg and you put fried rice in it and you flip it over. It's like an omelet with fried rice in the middle of it.
I think I had that at the Japanese restaurant. They made me one of those one time. Yeah. The thing is, it's one of those things where If you're like me and you're not the biggest egg fan, someone can make you an egg that can taste better than what you can make yourself.
Here's another thing, too. When you're living in Korea and you are out at a staff dinner and all they're eating is raw fish, you're not a fan of raw fish, you can go to the cook and you can say, hey, can you just scramble me an egg? And they'll be like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a savior egg right there.
That happened to me more than once in Korea, where I was forced to eat something that I didn't like very much. And I just went and I was like, hey, can you just make me an egg? And they'd make me an egg. And I was happy.
Yeah. When it comes to eggs, and someone just, Mitzi, y'all mentioned in the chat, my favorite egg is the old Cadbury cream egg. Those are good eating, you know.
I love those. But not the little ones, like, no. The mini ones that don't have the real stuff in them. No good.
Those are sucker eggs. You don't get those. You get the big deal. Mm-hmm. Cadbury. They make the good stuff. And the good thing is, what's great, I remember back in the day, this may surprise you, given my svelte physique, but back in the day, like Easter comes over here, like everybody gets Cadbury eggs to beat the band, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with jelly beans, by the way. It's a little trick for you people that want to get fat. You wait till the day after Easter, and they're blowing out these Easter accoutrements. You can get your baskets. You can get all that fake grass, right? Cheap, but what? Screw that. What are you gonna do with that? What, you just load up on jelly beans and freaking eat and those Cadbury eggs, two for a buck. Sometimes if you wait long enough to where that stuff inside of them kind of congeals into a solid, three or four for a buck at that point. Because who's gonna want them? Well, I'll tell you who. Right here, send them my way. Now that's a proper egg.
Now let me ask you a question. How do you eat a Cadbury egg?
there are different approaches. I like to bite the top off that sucker, right? Mm-hmm. And then you start sort of like a bear getting honey. Then you kind of get the gooey innards. You kind of pour those out or whatever, kind of get down in there. You don't want to take a bite out of the middle of that thing or you make a mess. So you got to strategically eat the egg.
What I like to do, I'm going to use a visual aid here.
All right, please do.
So what I like to do is I bite the top off.
He's taking the microphone foam off, in case you're wondering at home.
And then you just put the tongue right in there. Ah.
Oh, God, I could have done without that.
You just tongue it all in, okay?
So, yeah.
Your tongue is like the bear's hand at that point.
Yeah. I didn't need to see that, Bode. I'll be honest with you. Can we just get to the game now?
To the game.
What a riveting love theme that Cracked has, Bode. It's good to see that somehow the Atari ST managed to have an IBM DOS speaker installed in it for the thing.
For just this occasion.
Holy God. You know,
before we get into it, Aaron, we need to remind everyone that this week's Atari ST show, and what a show it's been so far, is brought to you by our patrons, in particular our game selection committee that chose this game for us.
Yeah.
Thank you to Richard Davey, Dave Velociraptor, and Graham Vebke.
Thanks, y'all.
If you enjoy the Atari ST show, check out patreon.com/AtariSTshow to see how you can make it a weekly podcast. Now, Aaron, this game, Cracked, it was released in 1987 in the United States, came out first here in America, before it was released in 1988 in the UK. This was released and programmed by Atari. It was programmed by a guy named Robert Neve. Robert Neve didn't do a ton of stuff. He worked on a game called Warehouse on the TRS-80. It's amazing how many people got their start on the good old TRS-80, Aaron.
Oh, yeah.
That game was released in 1984. The graphics on Cracked were done by a guy named Clark Kahanek and Donna Ford. Clark Kahanek went dark for decades, Aaron, after this game. But then, according to Moby, he resurfaced with a cinematics credit for the Wii version of Night at the Museum.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Got back into it. Good for him.
He was like, you know what? I missed the rush that I got when I was working on Cracked. Yeah. What's out there that will give me that same feel? Wii version of Night at the Museum.
Yeah.
So, what is the story behind Cracked? You might be surprised that there is a story. I will tell you what it is. As a professional ornithologist, that's somebody that really likes Charlie Parker, you're thrilled to find out that some rare South American hornbills have nested in your old yolk tree. That's right. You've got an old yolk tree. But while the hornbills are out feeding, a group of mischievous bluebirds, owls, and snakes begin raiding their nests and stealing eggs. So what do? You get out your gun, except you don't have a gun. You get out your slingshot, because this is a non-violent game. And you start hitting those birds with everything you got. Did you ever have a slingshot, Aaron?
I did. I did have one, Boat.
I raised
some hell with that thing.
When I was in Boy Scouts, I think it was even at like the old Klondike Derby one year, they had a slingshot competition where you had and it was the special slingshot that went on your wrist, you know, one of those deals.
Had the metal brace gimmick
on
it.
Right, the metal brace, that's right. And so they had a big board set up like a carnival game, and I shot a balloon and I won a prize. So,
oh, well done.
I consider myself to be a slingshot expert.
Yeah.
So what you do is you fire a slingshot at one of the birds. If the bird is carrying an egg, it drops the egg, and you've got to catch the egg before it hits the ground and you return it back to its nest.
Yeah.
At the same time, you've got things that are crawling on the bottom of the screen. You got to watch for snakes that will sneak up to your nest. Some of your nests are on the ground, by the way, and gobble eggs. And if you can protect your eggs long enough, you take them to another nesting site. So, what are these sites? You've got the old yolk tree. And then, of course, where are you going to go next? Where's the next possible place that a bird is going to set up a network of nests? Well, it's the city sewer, of course. So you head down into the sewer to protect these birds. And then where do you go? That's right, under the sea. Yeah. You have your birds that are nesting. Of course, I guess they don't have to be birds' eggs at that point. They could. There are lots of other sea creatures. Are there sea creatures that lay eggs? I'm sure there are.
Yeah, I'd say there are. Yeah.
Then you go to a haunted house, and you finish up the game at the old distant turtles, planet. Babe. Yeah,
turtles do. There you go.
So, there are 5 stages in this game, Aaron. So, I didn't get a chance to ask you, had you ever played Cracked before?
I had. I played this on the 7800 boat. And I mean, when I say that, I had a cup of coffee with it the very first time I had the 7800 out a long time ago. And so I totally, in fact, I owned this game. I think I've got 2 copies of it, if you can believe it, for the 7800.
Well, 7800 games were sort of, when they were blowing those things out, you grabbed everything you could.
Man. Well, listen, I don't know where I got them, but you know how you acquire that. I think you probably got a copy too.
I do.
It.
I have a couple of them. I'm looking
at
right
so,
now.
So, yeah, but I had not played it on the ST, and the ST version is different. Better. It's a lot better, actually, I think, than the 7800 version. So I just for a cup of coffee, but this is really the first week I really got into it for more than like 5 minutes.
Yeah. So this is a game that when you look at it, you immediately think this has got to be a light gun game.
Yeah.
Because it's a game, it's a shooting gallery. You've got things that are moving across the screen and you've got to shoot them. However, this is not the case. This game was specifically programmed to work with the Atari ST's mouse. I've not confirmed this, that this might have even been some sort of initiative from Atari themselves saying, hey, listen, we need to make games that introduce people how to be, you know, more proficient moving the mouse around the screen, especially kids. If we want kids to grow up to become Atari ST using adults, we need to get it in them early that they need to get kind of nimble with the old wrist, if you know what I'm saying. And so what better way to do that than to play a game like Cracked? So that's my personal theory about why this game was made. Do you have any theories?
Well, you know, I did read a little bit of an interview that the guy that programmed this gave. And he, like you said, he mentioned that he specifically used it for a mouse. And Atari was like, listen, we want to put this on the consoles, gun it up. And he was like, no. And that's why the 7800 version came out. But yeah, it, the thing is, most games that are like this, that have the gun that use the, but you're using the mouse, these are when you're playing an emulator or something like that, it's always a letdown because, you know, it's more fun with a gun. The mouse makes it too easy. But the fact that they added in the ability to catch the eggs, I will say that one little game mechanic gave this game a lot more jack in my opinion, because you had a little bit extra there, you know, because again, just going around and shooting stuff with the mouse cursor is sort of lame. In the interview I read, Atari said, we want you to console this up, and that's how the 7800 version came around. But he never did it. He never said, because they were like, this isn't a light gun game.
Right,
and that's
right.
Why you couldn't really do that with a light. I mean, I guess you could, but it'd be kind of weird to use a trigger to do both things.
Right, exactly. And in fact, you actually have to use both buttons of the 7800 Pro Stick to play the game. You use one button to fire and the other button to catch the eggs.
Which is horrible. Because I never used the real joystick on the 7800, so that means if you have to go find something with 2 buttons or use the horrible stick that comes with it.
Right, right. So I think that you know, this game, if you were buying it in the store and you took it home, of course there, you know, at the time I don't think there was a light gun available for the 7800, so I'm sure that you wouldn't have been disappointed. But it just seems like a game like this that you don't control with a light gun, it seems like a missed opportunity. But it is what it is. And of course, You're not going to want to, you definitely don't want to have one hand on the mouse and one hand on the light gun. That's just, that's a bridge too far for me.
No.
So anyway, I wanted to run down sort of, you know, what you do in between the stages too. So During your there's two different sort of modes that this game operates in. You've got your egg raid mode and you've got your rooster ranch mode. Okay, so you get a certain amount of points with in egg raid mode. For example, you get points by shooting creatures, but the big points in this game are returning eggs to the nest. Okay, so you get points for everything you do. You get 100 points for shooting a creature. You get 200 points for catching an egg. And if you haven't played this game, catching an egg is not the easiest thing in the world to do. So I'm glad they do give you some points for that. You get 300 points for returning an egg to its nest. But the key to this game, the key to high scores on this game, is you want to finish the raid with as many eggs as possible, because once you hit a dozen, you get 500 bonus points. And when you, and it's sort of humorous, at the end of each round, they count up your eggs as if they were going into a container, a styrofoam container for the store. So I that tickled me when I saw that. I thought
that was
cool.
That's a mixed message, isn't it? I mean, I wondered that too. It's like, what are we doing here? They just said the book says you're trying to save the eggs.
Well, you're saving the eggs so you can eat the eggs, Aaron. It's
Is
very
that what's happening?
So once you get done with the egg raid, you move on to the rooster ranch mode. And this is sort of interesting how this works. What you have is you're inside of a hen house. It's a multi-layer hen house. And I can't say the word hen house without the old Chuck Avery cartoon where the rooster's like, rooster in the hen house! Or where the rooster goes in, there's all the hens hanging around.
Yeah.
And what happens is you are trying to hit the rooster with eggs. And that the rooster is also throwing eggs at you. So I can't imagine what the hens... Or no, I'm sorry. You're trying to hit the rooster with your slingshot, and the rooster is throwing eggs at you. It's a weird thing, because the hens can't be happy, is what I'm saying. This is done, just imagine, you know, like a Hollywood Squares type box. You've got the rooster appears. He sort of, it's like a whack-a-mole. Would you compare this to whack-a-mole, Aaron?
I guess it's the targeting is what is bizarre.
Yeah, and so the targeting works on an XY axis. So you have these sort of sliders on the side and at the bottom of the screen, and you have to move the mouse up and over. It's not a direct control system at all. It's really weird.
Yeah, I sucked at this. I couldn't figure out why someone who was collecting eggs was then throwing the eggs. Right. I couldn't figure that out either. This game it doesn't make any sense. Clearly, the guy that wrote the docs didn't really put much thought into what he was writing, because this is a guy. If you're some guy who treasures these eggs, they've got you throwing the eggs. They've got you presumably selling or eating the eggs. So this guy's got we don't know exactly what this guy's motives are in this game. That's for sure. But that was a weird level where they took the cursor off. It made it much more difficult. That's but aren't you? But I mean, it's different. I don't think I've ever done anything like that. I will say that.
Yeah. Now in the other stages, there are weird things. So in the first stage, you've got what I'd call your forest creatures, your birds and your snakes that are trying to steal the eggs. When you go down to the city sewer level, this one, things get weird. You've got these sort of like hairy looking guys that are trying to steal the eggs. And when you shoot them, they turn into toilets, which is weird.
I didn't get that. I was going to ask you if that was explained somewhere. I
looked through the manual and that was never explained. One of the things that I think is really cool is that, one, the levels never repeat. You always go from one level to a different level. They never, like, you never have to do two yolk tree levels in a row.
Yeah.
The other thing is that there are such a variety of stages. You know, I only made it to the haunted house level, and I only made it there once. In fact, it was when I was recording my gameplay for the video we're watching right now. I made it all the way to the end, and I had one life left on the haunted house. In which case, you're being stolen. Yeah, there are ghosts trying to steal your eggs.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah, the undersea level. When you shoot the enemies, they turn into other things as well. So there's a lot of humor in this game. In between each stage, the screen goes blank. You have about a 10-second pause. And sometimes they say funny things like, this space intentionally left blank. Each stage is cleverly named, you know, the oak tree, 20,000 eggs under the sea. So you know, there's things like that. When you shoot the fish in the underwater level, they turn to little fish skeletons. You know, they could have made this game without those things. They could have just made your, you know, your guy disappear or whatever. I also think one thing I think the ST does really well, I noticed this in Roadrunner too, is that the it almost is like an arcade quality scoring font where the scores show up and they're kind of like a fast flashing rainbow color. I don't see that on a lot of Amiga games, and I've seen it twice already on the ST. So I don't know what kind of voodoo they're doing to make that, but I notice little things like that when I play a game like this. I mean, that sort of effect you would find in an arcade game and not necessarily on a home game.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Before we move on to the reviews, do you have any... What are your thoughts just all together on Cracked, Aaron?
Well, I never got to the haunted house. I was not good at this. I played this on the Mister with my old school crappy laser mouse, and I don't know if I didn't have the adjustments right, but I was not good at this game. I mean, I felt like I was doing okay, but I had a heck of a time getting anywhere. I mean, I got past the first couple three or four levels, but I didn't get where near. I didn't know there was a haunted house level until you showed me to it. I didn't even know it was there. Again, you're not kidding about catching the eggs, especially with like a snake or one of the ground based guys get them. You got like 1 second to shoot them before they eat it, which sucks, and that's real tough. The level again, the bonus levels, that's hard to figure out what you're doing there. That was tough. So I found this game. It's a simple game, but I found that I was not good at it. And again, I will say maybe it was the way I had my mouse set up in the Mister, but I mean, it felt like it was okay. I just felt like I wasn't very good at it.
Yeah, and I did want to double check as we're watching the gameplay footage here. At first, I was like, there's no way you're throwing eggs at the rooster. You got to be throwing your slingshot. But no, you are. You're definitely throwing the eggs at the rooster as the rooster is throwing eggs at you.
So. It has the eggs listed at the bottom like ammo. So, yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's odd. Kind of bizarre world this takes place.
Yeah, I don't know what was going
on. There is a strategy to this game. What you want to do is you want to kind of have a home nest, and you want to protect that nest at all costs. And whenever you rescue eggs, you want to return them to your home nest. That's the secret to getting a good score and being able to last a long time.
You know what it reminded me of? You ready? You're not going to expect this comparison. I played this game a lot like I would play Missile Command, right?
Oh, yeah.
Including the scrolling gimmick. But also, you know how you have the cities, and eventually you run out to where you only got one or two left. You're trying to protect them. That's pretty much the way I did this. Now, clearly, I'm not very good at this game.
But so that's a very
that's the way I did it. Though. So yeah, that's Absolutely. What it reminded me of.
Yeah, yeah. So this game, you know, it reviewed pretty well. Computer and Video Games in 1988 gave this a 7 out of 10. Something called ASM, an Atari ST magazine, gave this a 7.4 out of 12, which is always weird having that out of 12 thing. ST Action, 58 out of 100. Less good there. And the Games Machine hated it, 44 out of 100. I think that's kind of low. This game is what it says it is. It is a shooting gallery game with an egg rescue mechanic. I'm not sure how you would rate this game, you know, anything less than, you know, a B or a C. It mechanically, it works fine. It looks good. I guess you can fault it on the lack of music. This game really could have benefited with some good music.
It is. It's funny. I mean, yeah, because listen to that opening theme. That was god awful. You know, I mean, I don't know. That is... We've seen it a few times now. It's like, this is the ST is supposed to be the big music machine. I want to hear some tunes.
Right.
Listen, I'm going to go ahead and give you my nickel's worth before you get into yours.
Yeah, man.
This game, I don't hate it. Okay. It was better than I thought it would be. But I mean, this is maybe a rung up from like a PD game. It's pretty shallow. Game. I mean, you see all of its tricks pretty quick into the game. It's not like it's going to blow you away. Different background, sure, but I mean, there's nothing new under the sun in this game. I mean, if I bought this game at full price, you know, I don't know, Boat. I mean, I'm not sure if you get a full price game here. I think what you got here is a game that you sit down and play for about 15-20 minutes, and then you're done, which is exactly what I did this week. I played it. I played it a couple times, and then I was like, okay, I got it. You know, there's not, it didn't.
If you were gonna add something to this game to give it more depth, what would you add?
Well, listen, I would steal stuff. Why not have something like at a crossbow? Maybe you're protecting somebody from something. That was a good angle.
You know, work that in with the egg story.
Listen, the egg story is not the best. I'm not going to lie to you. And the fact that they've changed it two or three times as you get to the game. You know, I like that. The Atari ST does these great cards. This is another one of those cartoony games. It's got that look. It's got a look. It's this Atari, yeah. Like almost like a high resolution look that I like. We've seen several of these games. Roadrunner was like, it looked good.
Yep.
This is a good looking game. Everything moves smoothly, you know, but there's not a ton of gameplay here. And that's, I mean, it does have difficulty levels, you know, so you've got that going for you. I mean, if going for a high score game, this might be fun, but it's just not what I'd want to go back to over and over. It just isn't, there's not enough there for me. And so,
you know, before I said that you shouldn't have the ability to hold the light gun in one hand and the mouse in the other.
Yeah.
But the more I think about it, the more maybe that would be cool. I mean, maybe you could have a different difficulty levels where there's one where you only, you know, use the light gun and one where you only use the mouse. But for the ultimate, like, because I can see, like, you know, you hold the light gun in one hand and you've got the mouse in the other hand and you're shooting and you're rescuing. I mean, I can see that being kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The thing is, I mean, I don't see them trying to sell a game like that. I mean, listen, does the Atari ST even have a light gun? I don't know if it's even got one.
I don't think it did at the time.
You know, and so we don't. I mean, I don't know, but and Roy, I mean, look at the Amiga light gun games. It's not like right. They were killing it, you know. So, right. But with all that said, I mean, if you compare this to the light gun games we put on the Amiga, like Al Capone, one coming to mind, like that game sucked. This game is better than that. I mean, it's because of the catch mechanic. And you're right, the little details, the stuff that things turn into, you had to put that stuff in here, though, because, you know, you've got to do something. Because there was so little there. It's such a flimsy game that the little touches are make it a little better, you know, and the bonus round and stuff. But, I mean, overall, like, if I picked this thing up for, like, I don't know, $5 or a tenner maybe, I'd be like, okay, it's pretty good. If you could play, if two people could get in it, but of course, then you're getting into the whole two mouse thing, so then that's going to be a problem. So you really can't even do that. I mean, it's just, there's not much to it. And the fact that they based this in the whole egg thing, I mean, you could have done something real intriguing with the concept of using the second mouse, you know, the catching button, you know, you could have done like a more of an action-y, rescue-y game, make it a little more arcadey. You know, this just seems, I would like to have maybe something almost like a Wario World, you know, where you've got all the different scenarios. This could be one of the scenarios, the egg thing, and use the mouse concept for all of the games. Now, I know I'm getting really stupid here, but I'm just saying the concept is sound. But so do more with that. But I agree.
Like, for example, you could have like lemmings like creatures that are like falling off a burning building or something. And you're trying to catch as many as you can or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. You could be lifting stuff up with the mouse button. You know, you could do any number of things, picking stuff, people out of the water, doing anything. But the whole egg thing is, it's also this, who's this really meant to appeal to? This game, I always wondered this before. It's like these goofy games. I'm like, who is going to enjoy this game? Is it, I mean, cause you don't have any, like, it leaves like a Roadrunner. You've got like established characters and stuff, but there's no mascots in here. There's no licensed characters. And the whole idea of a barnyard based, and this isn't the only one, barnyard based shooter or a egg based shooter. It's goofy. It's so goofy that it's goofy enough to work sorta, but you know, So I guess my review is sort of a.
Yeah, well, it's time to find out what our Discord community thought. As always, if you are a member of the Amigos Retro Gaming Discord server by becoming a patron of any of our shows, you can leave us a review, and we will read it on the air, just like Pajaco did. He says, I cannot imagine playing this for long on the original ST mouse and not getting RSI. This could be more fun if they just toned down the initial difficulty, maybe something around the level of the Atari 7800 version. I did like it, but there's just too much to easily keep track of. I only made it to level 2 with the rats and the pipes, but because I had lost too many eggs before, the game didn't last long. The rooster bonus level is also very tricky, and you don't have a great deal of time to react, and the change of shooting mechanic was an odd choice. I think I could probably improve, but I need a good solid desk and space for my mouse to play, and this is not a couch game. Although something a little different from the norm, it's just a little too tough on the first level. Give it a play, though, but prepare to break out the Bengay and the ice pack afterwards. 7 yeah. out of 10. Salem OK writes, what is really charming about Cracked is its innocent Nintendo-style vibe. It's basically a cross between Duck Hunt and Mickey Mouse in the Mickey Mouse Game & Watch, where he's trying to catch eggs. Where this analogy goes wrong is at the second level in the sewers, where you find yourself shooting at rats at what I can only describe as egg-stealing turds. Anyway,
yes, that's what I would describe them as.
When you shoot them, and any toilet joke has always been welcome in any video game in my book, so that's fine with me. Graphics are cute and done with care. The music is extremely bare bones, rendering old classic themes like the programmers didn't know what to do with the YM2149 chip other than use it as a PC buzzer. Bam, you were right, Aaron. Mm. I could hear Paula Addix sneer in the background, but the venerable Yamaha chip can definitely do more than that. However, the main bone I have to pick with the game is that it's extremely difficult to play. I could barely aim and shoot some of the enemies who zip by extremely quickly and save a handful of eggs at best at the end of level 1. I thought I had issues with mouse emulation. I tested several settings, emulators, and OSs short of playing on real hardware. It turns out this doesn't matter. The mouse handling seems not right. To convince myself, I loaded Operation Wolf, which I have played on real hardware as well as emulated without noticing any issues, and this confirmed my theory. Operation Wolf handles absolutely fine with the same settings. In Cracked, the pointer moves way too fast across the screen, and you can't be precise and quick at the same time. Add to that enemies that are also really quick, and you have a really tough challenge on your hands. I'm not even mentioning the bonus stage, which properly requires hundreds of plays to master. This game has a lot going for it, turds and toilets, but the mouse handling and difficulty definitely bring it down for me, 6 out of 10.
I'm glad to hear that, because I really did. I thought I was just really bad, and then I thought my setup was jacked up, so I'm happy to hear someone else is having the exact same problem I was having, Boat.
Yeah, yeah. All right, and I did check this out. You know, one of the great things about Atari that you don't get on, I mean, almost any other platform, is that there are millions of new old stock copies of games that are still available for a cheap price today from an outfit called Best Electronics. Best Electronics sort of inherited a warehouse full of Atari gear, and they've been slowly selling it off over the decades. They still have this thing, Aaron, brand new, still in the shrink, $17.95.
There you go. And just as we close it up here, I've side by side the ST and the Atari 7800 version. By the way, the Atari 7800 version also controls poorly, I might add. So that's double trouble there. And in fact, I'd say it's worse.
All right. So it's time, Aaron, to bid a fond farewell to Cracked. Listeners, we want to hear your feedback. Please feel free to leave us a comment on YouTube and, of course, review the Atari ST show on your podcast service of choice. If you could do that, we'd really appreciate it. Mm. We release this show in both audio and video format. You can check out all the back catalog at bit.ly/AtariSTShow. We record this show live on Twitch at twitch.tv/AmigosRetroGaming. If you want to support our show, just visit patreon.com/AtariSTShow. We do have a goal up there. If we can get to $200 a month in Patreon support, the Atari ST show will go from a monthly show to a weekly show, which would be super awesome. And that leads us to our ST supporter roll call. Thanks to all these fine folks for supporting the Atari ST show. Control Alt Reese, O'Brien's Retro and Vintage, Brett Owens, Laurent Giroux, Twilight Zoner, Olivier Massoud, Tim Drew, Retro Jerry, and Bernard Quinn. If you like format and you want to hear more, feel free to check out our other shows, Amigos, Everything Amiga, Our Sinclair, and American Take on the ZX Spectrum, The Coco Show, which is all about gaming on the Tandy Color Computer, and ARG Presents, where Aaron and the Brent spin the wheel and make the deal. We can't also forget about 1200XL if you want to hear about the ST's father or something. Check out 1200XL. It's a show we do about Atari 8-bit computers. So all these shows can be found on the Amigos Retro Gaming YouTube channel or at anchor.fm/AmigosPodcast. Aaron, what are we going to play next time?
Let's find out, folks. Starquake. That's a cool cover, but
yeah, yeah.
Never heard of it.
Me neither. So we will have fun checking that out. We will see you next time. And until then, make sure you play
your Atari today.